Hello, this is 3 Minute Egghead, a podcast about research at UC Davis. I'm Andy Fell. Mistreatment of children can have long-lasting psychological effects, but new work from UC Davis and the University of Washington shows that training that helps people be better parents has positive effects on their young children.
My name is Paul Hastings, and I'm a professor in the Department of Psychology. For everything we do, there's an orchestrated coordination of the brain, the central nervous system, and the body.
This coordination is unconscious. We don't have to think about it. Most people are familiar with the sympathetic system, the fight or flight system. It gets us ready to run or fight. Its counterpart is the parasympathetic system.
The parasympathetic nervous system, which is the complementary branch that is really important for coordinating social and emotional engagement with others.
These systems are shaped by our life experiences.
What we experience in the world impacts how our bodies work.
So how does parenting ability affect physiological responses in small children? That's hard to test.
You can't really ethically randomly assign children to parents. What we did in this study was leveraged one of the places in which it is appropriate to do an experimental study with families, and that is when you're intervening to change an identified and recognized problem.
Collaborators at the University of Washington are studying how best to help families referred to Child Protective Services.
My colleagues on this study, led by Monica Oxford, were doing an evaluation of a training program for parents who had been identified as maltreating their infants and toddlers. They randomly assigned the families to either receive that treatment program or to receive the standard resource and referral information package.
And the intensive training paid off.
It was shown in their research to be effective at improving parents' sensitive and responsive engagement with their toddlers during observed interactions, increased parents' understanding of toddlers' normal developmental needs, and decreased the frequency of out-of-home placement through foster care. What we then did, after they had completed the primary evaluation, was recruited a subset of the families from both groups into this study to see whether the groups differed in the children's parasympathetic regulation.
The children carried out a series of mildly challenging tasks, such as a puzzle, learning to tie their shoes, or touching a plastic spider. Their parasympathetic responses were recorded by measuring changes in heart rate. Typically, children given tasks like these show a mild withdrawal of the parasympathetic response. It's a mildly alert information intake mode.
Prior studies of maltreated children and also adolescents and adults who had experienced maltreatment in childhood is that the experience of maltreatment is associated with an exaggerated parasympathetic withdrawal response.
That opens a door for a fight-or-flight response. Children of parents who have gone through the 10-week intervention reacted more like normally developing children.
The pattern of mild parasympathetic withdrawal was clearest in the toddlers of the parents who improved the most. On the spider task, it would be typical for children to be, what is this? Yeah. To be a little bit cautious or leery about it, and to be a little bit hesitant in putting their hands, and you'd expect to see all that. What's going on under the skin, though, is are they doing so in a inquisitive, like this is new, but kind of interesting, kind of exciting way, or are they doing so in a I really don't want to be here, what's going on way? Stronger parasympathetic withdrawal would be associated with more likely to be showing signs of anxiety and fear, or signs of frustration. Kids and adults who show strong parasympathetic withdrawal to normal, typical life experiences more often have social and emotional problems of a variety of ranges, but most often on kind of the internalizing side of anxiety and depression and that kind of thing.
This parasympathetic withdrawal could be the link between experiencing maltreatment as a child and developing mental illness in later life. Could these types of training be beneficial for other parents and children? It's clear that there are benefits in early care.
And if you're focusing on the efficacy of the programs and on their consequences, of the amount of healthcare dollars that are saved in the long run, the children's improved performance at school, decreased likelihood of problems that will get in trouble with youth court, etc. It becomes a huge economic savings to actually invest in early care.
Thanks for listening to 3-Minute Egghead. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or find us online at soundcloud.com/andy-fell.